Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
I like this. I'm digging the vibe. Wolf Alice coming to San Francisco. Okay. I am intrigued. I need to hear more. You are listening to KNBR and KNBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. It is absolutely our pleasure to welcome in Gabe Kapler, manager of your San Francisco Giants. Gabe, we always appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad to be talking to you guys.
So Wolf Alice, I like it. Tell me a little bit more about him.
So Wolf Alice is a band that I actually just recently discovered, but you're right, they are coming to San Francisco. I forget the name of the theater, but it doesn't seem like it's a big theater, actually like a mile and a half from the ballpark. Anything come to mind?
Nice. Okay. All right.
Do you know which theater I'm talking about?
I don't. I'm looking it up right now to see. I like seeing rock bands. No one else is understanding this conversation but the two of us. I like seeing rock bands in theaters. There's just something, I don't know, it's just you walk into a nice theater and like, oh, I'm going to see a band, you know, either kind of do some like ethereal, you know, music, or they just tear it up. There's just something about seeing a rock show in a theater that vibes with me. I think the name of the place is August Hall. I've never heard of
that's
it, but
it.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
On
that's
Mason
it.
Street. Okay. Nice.
So I'll probably check out that show. They made a record this year called Blue Weekend, and I think it's one of the best records of the year, period. It's kind of like a folky rock with like some indie alternative vibes to it. It's just really, really cool. I recommend that everybody check it out.
So we were just talking during the break. Like, I wonder how Gabe is spending this off season. Is he watching baseball games? You probably are, but you're also checking out some new music and vibing in that way. So I think we're getting a clear picture as to what your off season's like now.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I just recently, like in the last couple of days, was able to watch baseball. I just couldn't do it for a couple of days there. So watched a little bit of the last few games between the Dodgers and the Braves. I'll probably watch a little bit going forward. But it took me a while. Like, I turned on the TV and turned it right off. It was really difficult to watch the playoffs and not be there. The sting of the season hasn't, like, fully subsided yet, and to be honest with you, I don't expect it to be fully gone until we arrive in Scottsdale for spring training, but every day it'll get a little bit better.
Hey, Giants fans, Gabe Kapler is just like you. He couldn't watch baseball after the Giants were out either. So look at that.
Exactly. Gabe, you know, first of all, we got to say congratulations, man. I mean, it was an incredible year. It was a historical year. I never dreamt that you guys could have that kind of year. I just didn't. And I was incredibly impressed by you, but the staff, how prepared your players were. It was incredible for the city. I mean, it was an incredible year. It really was. But I got to ask you, because the hitters did not hit in October. What happened? I mean, without offering excuses, can you provide any explanations beyond LA's staff is just filled with nasty arms? Why did the bats kind of dry up in October?
Well, you really did answer the question. But what I'll say is I was talking to a coach actually from another organization, because we're always kind of looking for staff members. You know, mm-hmm. we expect that there might be some other clubs who are looking at some of our coaches. So we always want to be ready to fill with excellent coaches that we bring in. So I was actually talking to one of them who had a lot of success this season. And we talked about how difficult it is to hit in the postseason. And, you know, the main reason it's difficult is because, you know, you're facing the best starters around the game. And then once you get into their bullpens, and this is definitely true for the Dodgers, you're dealing with some of the nastiest relievers in the game. So from Blake Treinen to Joe Kelly, even the guys that aren't their leverage guys. So like Gratterall is you know 103 with with a bunch of movement to it. So, and this is the guy that they're bringing in their middle innings. Now, that said, we have to figure out ways to train to handle that sort of velocity, that sort of movement, and the ability to locate, which a guy like Blake Treinen can hit all four corners of the strike zone with that nasty stuff. So you're right. There are no excuses. We just have to get better so that, you know, the next time we're in that situation, we were able to scratch across a few more runs. If you think about game five, you get into the later innings there, and it's just who's going to get the hit with runners in scoring position first. And we want that to be us. And the best way to do that is to train for those moments. And you know, you better believe that that's what we're going to be spending our offseason thinking about.
I'm wondering, this time of the year, I mean, obviously you're not actively rooting for any team, but do you have, like, players that you played with or coaches that you coach with and stuff like that that you still kind of root for and like to see them do well?
Absolutely. And I think that's the best way to think about it, because we want what's best for, you know, this is sort of just human nature. We want what's best for the people that we bumped into along the way that we think highly of. And look, I was teammates with Alex Cora, so kind of hope that, you know, that he has some success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ron Washington, such a great baseball man. And, you know, getting to bump into him over the years and you know, thinking about how hard he works to get those infielders ready for the biggest moments. And he has done a great job with that. So, yeah, there's certainly guys that you root for around the game. And at the same time, we know that we're responsible for our destiny, right? We're responsible for what happens to us. So we'll stay focused on what we can control, and that's, you know, getting ready for the, you know, the biggest moments next season. At the same time, I think it's all right to look around the game and root for people.
Isn't it kind of funny, though? I mean, you're kind of in the same boat I was to some extent. You grow up as a sports fan, so you have your favorite players and you have your favorite teams. And then as soon as you become a player at the big league level, you kind of stop rooting for teams. You just root for people at that point. Like, I mean, I'm an Angel. I grew up an Angel fan, so I'd still like to see the Angels do well. But other than that, I don't really have a favorite team except for my college team, Arizona, who one of the worst football teams in the country. But anyway, but I find myself, you just root for people. You just, if you like them, you don't like them. If you don't like them, maybe you root against that team. If you like them, you root for that team. It doesn't really matter what team it is.
Well, I think Giants fans will be able to relate to this well. It takes a lot of energy to pour yourself into a team, right, and to support that team through the ups and downs of the seasons, but even over the years, like over the course of decades sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you figure out when you get into professional sports, you get into, you know, a Major League Baseball uniform, and subsequently, you know, you're the manager or the coach of a major league team, or perhaps you work in the front office, is you don't have enough energy to pour into, you know, several teams, even teams around sports, right? So, like, you know, I love the NFL. I love football. It's probably my favorite sport. But I don't have the energy to root for any team the way I pour into the Giants.
Sure. Yeah.
And I guess it's a little bit different, you know, if you're a fan in San Francisco, you're going to, you know, follow the Niners, and you're going to follow the Giants. But I imagine it's even difficult to give each one of those teams, you know, every ounce of your energy. I know it's done, but I don't know. Perhaps it's just me, but my thought is, like, all of my energy is going to go into the Giants. It's hard for me to be a fan of other teams, even in other sports.
Well, being on Twitter, they got way too much energy.
Yeah, exactly.
And too much time.
it is pretty amazing how fans are able to spend their time and just, you know, root so hard for so many different Bay Area teams.
Yeah. Gabe Kapler joining us on the Tolbert Kruger and Brooks show. I thought the postmortem you and Farhan did a couple of days ago was very interesting. And one of the things that really intrigued me was, you're talking about your coaching staff and how you feel that it is a definite positive going into free agency to recruit guys. Just expand on that, drill down on it a little bit. How do you think this coaching staff will help you be attractive to guys that you would like to come in and help you in your future endeavors with this team?
Well, I think players are attracted to coaches who care more than anything else, right? I mean, like, I think we have talented staff. It, honestly, like, we weren't doing anything with our staff that all of the other organizations around baseball are trying to do. There's no secret sauce. There's no, you know, one special thing that, that players might be attracted to. What I think they can hang their hats on is that, you know, nobody's going to outwork us. Nobody's going to out-prepare us. You know, the give is going to be super, super high, and players can depend on that. And they pick up on that, and they sense that right away. So I think that that's, you know, that's a pretty good selling point for us. Although, you know, we don't get to rest on what happened in 2021 and you know, the win total or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We've got to get right back to work. And right. you don't like get to recruit in a 2-week period, right? You're recruiting all of the time. And so you have to be proving yourself all of the time, and just got a lot of work to do going forward.
You know, it was such a fun year to watch. There was a game in September I wanted to ask you about. There was the Diamondbacks rolled in, and they got this kid, Jake McCarthy, and he hit some ball up the gap. And just watching this kid go from first to third and second to home, I mean, he's impact speed. And I'm just kind of wondering, as you guys kind of look ahead to building this club for 2022, what do you think of the idea of trying to add some impact, not necessarily him, but adding some impact speed to your 40-man this winter? Is that on the to-do list?
I mean, I think it's always nice to add, you know, specific types of talent like speed. I think if you look around the game right now, and stolen bases are even at more of a premium because we had touched on this a little bit earlier, because the pitching is so nasty. Right. So a runner, you know, a guy gets a base hit and that turns into a double, that runner's on second base. I mean, it's a lot easier to get, you know, to record a single against Max Scherzer or Logan Webb or Tyler Rogers or Blake Treinen than it is to, you know, get an extra base hit and score that guy from first base. So speed is really important. And luckily, I think the end of this season in our playoff roster, Stephen Duggar stood out as a guy that, you know, were we able to get into a couple of those situations, he would have been, you know, great to score from second base on a base hit. We thought about him as a pinch runner all the way through the last month of the season. Austin Slater's really fast. Tyro Estrada is lightning fast. But sure, if the opportunity presents itself and, you know, we can add that sort of skill to our roster, I don't think, you know, Farhan and Scott will hesitate to go out there and add that player if they make sense on each level. Mm-hmm.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
You know, it's an interesting game because I've always wondered what differentiates team besides the talent of the players that are on that team. And, you know, it's a little bit here, a little bit there. And your guys' depth was amazing this year. I think that's what really separated you guys from a lot of teams. One thing, and this is kind of off the wall, but one thing I've always wondered, walks are good because they add to the on-base percentage. But no one wants to try and bunt down the third baseline to pick up an easy hit because you want to knock the ball into the gap, you want to knock the ball out of the park, and I get that. But is that like an inefficiency? Is it worth the time spending on that? Do you get enough out of that if guys learn how to do that? Like my dream inning would be 4 bunts down the third baseline and a guy scores at home plate. It'd be like the most incredible inning. But I'm just wondering, is that just something that's not worth the time spent because that's not really, you know, what you're after in terms of finding a pitch to hit and driving it? I totally get that, but I was just wondering if there's meat on the bone, so to speak, that's not taken advantage of.
Well, I'm actually glad you're framing it the way you are, because I think most of the time, you know, analysts, fans, media, and sometimes to some degree coaches, all right, well, why doesn't this guy just put down a bunt in that situation? The infield is shifted, or perhaps they're not taking the bunt away from a fast base runner. So the question is often, why isn't that guy bunting? And the answer to that question is usually because if a pitcher on the mound is nasty to hit, he's also nasty to bunt. And sometimes he's even nastier to bunt than he is to hit. So the answer to your question is, yes, it's definitely worth investing in. But that investment it really doesn't come halfway through a major league season. That investment starts when a player gets into the minor leagues. It actually starts in high school and in college, and perhaps even before that. But once we get a player into our system, and this is where, like, my player development, I get excited about player development, is that has to happen right away. It has to be prioritized right away. Mm-hmm. When a player gets to the major league level, they have to have that tool in their bag. And right now, to be honest with you, most major leaguers don't have that tool in their bag. Yeah. It's just it hasn't been prioritized over the course of the last 10 years. So guys are getting to the big leagues and they just can't do it well. And again, you know, Gratterall is tough to hit. Blake Chyman is tough to hit. Logan Webb is tough to hit. They're also nasty to bunt. Very difficult.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler joining us here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. He's on the UMA guest line. We were having earlier kind of a wide-ranging discussion about injuries and all of the sports in North America, the pro sports. And you know, eventually we started talking about how you guys used your players. And Buster is the obvious example. I mean, it seemed pretty obvious that his play this year had a lot to do with the fact that he was used in a very smart and judicious manner. But overall, the way you guys were able to handle using guys, keeping them fresh, how you brought them back off of injury to where they were ready to go, there was really no ramp-up time. I mean, it seemed clear to me anyway that was definitely a part of the success you had this year.
I think so. And again, this is a work in progress. We're always trying to figure out what the right balance is between, pushing a guy to play regularly. Look, here's the obvious fact. You want Buster Posey in the lineup every single day. There's not going to be a day where you're like, we don't want Buster in there. So what you're trying to do is get the best out of these great players. And you really don't want 75% of anybody, because even as good as some of these players are around the league, 75% of them is just not a major leaguer. So it's not like, you know, Michael Jordan playing ill. It's not that. Mm-hmm. He's going to drop, 42 points on you perhaps and win the game for you, even if he's a little under the weather. These bodies are not, they're not explosive on the, in their lower halves and getting their best swings off and their feet aren't moving to throw runners out at second base. It's just not good for the club or for the player. Mm-hmm. So I guess the easiest way to answer this is we have to keep working to figure out what the right balance is. And there's no secret formula. I think it comes a lot from having conversations with the players and getting them to be honest with how their bodies are recovering and feeling on any given day, and then making the best decision accordingly.
You know, watching you guys grind this thing out this year was really fun. I mean, the hitters grinded. You guys, I thought Farhan did an incredible job, and with Scott just kind of balancing the roster day after day. This guy's up, that guy's down. I thought you guys maximized whatever talent you did have on the 40-man. But I wanted to ask you about, I know you yourself grind pretty hard. What is it? If looking back in your 3 years now managing, how have you gotten a lot better? Because I've seen some growth. You don't seem as wed to, the plan, let's say, pregame as you maybe appeared in year one. How would you evaluate yourself and how you've grown as a manager in a short amount of time?
Sure. I guess I'm every year that goes by, my first year in Philadelphia and in 2018, I think I had a really good plan on paper and how to make it all work. And I think I had, and we had a lot of buy-in from, our front office on that plan, but it was pretty rigid. And I'll say, 2019 was a little better. 2020 was a little better than that. And I think this year we did a really nice job as a team, as an organization, of listening to players, involving them in their own development, involving them to some degree in some game strategy. And, what that looks like is sometimes getting the pulse of a pitcher and taking it very seriously when he says that, I got two more batters for you. And if we can get that level of honesty from them, that's great. Or the flip side is also true. Perhaps they're saying, look, I'm just out of gas. And in the past, like, managers and coaches are saying, that makes a player, I mean, they may get labeled as soft, which is totally BS, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that the ability to be honest about things like that, and for us to take that feedback, really shows that we're working on these decisions and some in some cases problems with these players And I think it's a really good strategy in baseball, which is so so dependent on, you know, mental health, mental well-being, confidence, all of these intangibles. So I just think over the last couple of years, there's been growth there for our group. I would like to take it out of, you know, me specifically, because, you know, quite frankly, we don't do these things by ourselves. Like, we don't, yeah, we don't grow by ourselves. We don't win by ourselves. We don't lose by ourselves. We do it as a team. And so, you know, that's how I think about, you know, the growth over the last couple of years.
Do you think the way baseball is moving right now, and I mentioned your depth, Tampa Bay has done the same thing for a few years now, where they prioritize their last, kind of their last six almost as much as they prioritize their front six. So it's not as much about getting top heavy. It's about, hey, we need to have depth in our lineup because these guys are all going to play. And if our bottom six are better than your bottom six, then a lot of times we're going to have a chance to win this game, win this series. Is that something you expect to see around baseball? Because the fight for the superstars, it isn't like it used to be when I was growing up, you're growing up, where you had to have the big guys. You want the big 3, 4, 5 hitters in the middle of the order, and the bench guys, yeah, maybe they'll play 10, 15 games a year, but we're not going to worry about them much. Where now those guys are getting, you know, 200, 300 at bats, and they're playing some meaningful innings. And you guys had, I can't name all the players you guys had that had great games, great weeks. I mean, helped you guys get those 107 wins. Do you see that as it's going to be tougher now to maybe do all that, because other teams are going to say, well, hell, what are we doing here trying to get all these guys, when really what we need is to have 25 and maybe even, you know, closer to 40, because you guys had guys that weren't even on the team at the end of the year that contributed throughout the course of the year. And I think that was a massive help. But I'm wondering if that's kind of the way people are going to recalibrate their minds a little bit.
So I think it's a system that has been, you know, successful for us, and it's a system that requires, you know, constant tweaking. But what I'll say is, if anybody says there's a formula for how to do it around baseball, but I'll even take it a step further, a formula for how to do it around sports, I just stop listening. It's just not how sports work, right? Like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's no, like, secret formulas.
Might have lost Gabe. See if we can get him back here in a second. We are efforting to do such.
I always love having him on, guys. Just because he's you know, he's very verbal, and he also, you know, just is very, he'll dissect things, you know, and he's almost every answer that he provides is very detailed.
Well, he listens to the question, and he's thoughtful when he answers it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Across the board.
Yeah. No, he's good. He's absolutely good. It's interesting, though, because I think you see these trends that happen in sports, and I do believe that depth is a huge deal in baseball now. I mean, it's no mistake. Oh, we have Gabe back. Go ahead, Gabe.
You stopped where there's more than one way to skin a cat. So we'd like to hear the other cat skinning ways
then,
you have.
And then I got a little long-winded with it, because I'm pretty passionate about this. The answer to your question is, it's possible that the industry could trend in that direction a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm, you know, if they do, there's going to be a trend in a different direction very shortly. Yeah. So I think it's the teams that are the most flexible and can bob and weave a little bit. And be nimble, that those are the ones that probably are going to have the most success.
Hey, we're going to let you go here with a couple of throwaways, but don't apologize for your passion, and because your passion means that you are explaining it to those of us who are really interested in your thought process and the thought process of this Giants organization. And I really do think, Gabe, that people got a chance to know you, not as a manager, but kind of get to see your human side too, especially after you guys finally clinched the division. So the fact that you feel comfortable enough with us and the people, you know, the fans who are listening to our conversation, to be expansive in your answers and to give us, you know, how you feel about it and to be passionate about it, we appreciate it. So a couple of throwaways here, and I have to ask this one, because if I don't, my wife will kill me. She's a massive Giants fan. Did you and Kai Correa coordinate your glasses vibe this season?
I think that's really funny and interesting. So Kai's been wearing those glasses for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day in spring training, I recognize that I'm not seeing the way I want to see anymore. And so, you know, I'm trying to pick up a ball in center field off the wall, and it's not going well. So I asked Kai, I'm like, hey, man, let me see your glasses for a second. Let me try them on. And I did, and I saw the field way better. So I knew at that point that I probably needed to explore this. And then I went out and got some myself. And then I also got some sunglasses that are prescription glasses as well. And, I mean, since then, you know, wearing those sunglasses on day games and you know, the prescription glasses, you know, during night games, I see a whole lot better. And what I've gotten into a rhythm of taking the first inning or so and not wearing glasses at all, so I can really see and feel the difference in the second inning and beyond. But I'll tell you this, I'm pretty confident the glasses are going to be gone next year because I'm going to work on getting LASIK.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? I know a guy, Dr. Scott Hiver. I'll put you in touch with him. Yeah. All right, now this was for me. I'm a sneakerhead, so I'm always looking at feet. Tell me about your kicks.
The bright orange?
I can't tell the brand, so what are you rocking shoe-wise?
So Adidas, they care of me. I'm a sneakerhead too, so we've got that in common along with our rock and roll and various music tastes. I'm pretty bland when it comes to clothing outside of shoes. So I wear a lot of blacks, a lot of grays, a lot of whites, like jeans, denim, like that sort of thing. So very, very straightforward with my fashion style. But when it comes to shoes, I like to use that as a place to get a little pop of color. But most recently, like towards the end of the year, comes from a little bit from Tyler Rogers, who wears white shoes out there.
Yeah.
I found of Adidas, they're actually white threes that are high.
Oh, man. I think we lost him again.
So we
know it's Adidas. We'll definitely get we'll get a little bit more information. Is he still there? I think we're going to have to cut it. I could talk to Gabe Kapler on the regular and be perfectly fine with that. So please inform Gabe that we'd love to talk to him sooner rather than later.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.